The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome into PNC Studio at Hallis Hall here in Lake Forest. Another edition of the Bears Coaches Show is head coach John Fox and me, Jeff Joniak, with you until 7:30 tonight. Good evening. How you doing?
Doing great, Jeff. Yourself?
Man, I'm okay. You know, a little fatigued. You don't care what I'm feeling, but yes, I'm a little fatigued. I don't know if it's the grind of the season or the way these games have fallen. Maybe that's part of it too. It's just really something.
Well, there's no doubt it takes it out of you.
It does.
No doubt. Can be very frustrating, as I'm sure everybody out there is as well. But we're going to keep plugging away, and I expect us to get better.
I saw ex-Bear Kurt Becker here today, offensive lineman, played in Michigan. We had a long talk about games like this, and he much preferred getting his rear end whipped, you know, if it ever happened. 37-0 feels better than a three-point loss. Or, you know, I don't know how you feel about it, and how you can't qualify losses, in my opinion. A loss is a loss, a win is a win, but everybody's got a different take on it. What's yours?
Well, I think, you know, just what's most frustrating for us is that, you know, we're close. We're really close. We just can't get over the hump consistently enough. And, you know, this game is about being consistent, and we're just not there yet. So I think, you know, for us, it's, we don't get paid to play hard. You know, we get paid to win. And that's the ultimate deal, and that's what we're working towards.
You still didn't answer my question. Do you prefer getting beat, so you know you got beat, to go back to work, or do you care if it's a close loss?
I like being competitive.
Yeah.
All right. You know, so again, as a coach, you're always trying to win the game, and you know, when you're getting beat 38-0, it's you're not very close to winning the game.
You're right, but I would think on Monday morning it's a little more of an eye opener for the fellas, but maybe it isn't. Everybody's got a different take on it, and every game takes on its own story. That's the beauty of the league. The whole week's a drama. I mean, you don't know what you're going to have, who you're going to have available, what the other team's going to have available, the psyche of your team, if somebody's got sickness or something going on at home. And so what, in summary, can you say about yesterday's drama? What is yesterday's storyline?
You know, again, kind of a little bit more of the same. I know it sounds like a broken record. A little bit different is, you know, we didn't start the game very well. We deferred. We started on defense. They went 80 yards on the first drive, ate up about 8 minutes of clock. You know, and scored a touchdown. Then in turnaround, their second possession, drive 93 yards for a touchdown. So, you know, on the flip side, we were three and out the first three possessions and maybe had a one first down. I don't recall exactly.
One.
But, you know, you can't start games like that. You know, to credit the guys is they fought back, got in the game, and had an opportunity to win it at the end.
Yeah, which now we've come to expect out of your team. And I think that's also a significant statement.
Well, I think if you even go back to our wins, you're going all the way back to our one home win here against the Oakland Raiders. You know, again, that was a three-point win on the road in Kansas City, two-point win. You know, it's other than, you know, we started off the season a little bit slow, you know, the first three games. But ever since, I mean, these games could all have gone either way.
Tom Thayer last night, as we wrapped up the broadcast, he's saying, you know, I hate to put it this way, you know, at 5-8 and so forth, and you know, the record says what it is, but it's been a highly entertaining, competitive view for the fans and for us as announcers to call the game, because it is, you know, I call them nail nibblers. You know, it was another nail nibbler yesterday. I mean, you're in it to the finish. Your heart's racing. So from that point of view, even for the players, it has everybody's attention.
Well, we're going to get there. You know, it's just, you know, I wish we could have gotten closer, you know, to this point this season. And we still have three contests in front of us, two against division opponents that we lost to in the first go-round of two of these three games. So there's a lot to play for. I think our guys understand that. They'll compete. And I can like to tell all the fans that it's going to happen. We are going to start winning. I'd rather it be sooner than later.
And you do tell your players that too. I know you do, because they've told me you said that.
Yeah, I think they understand it. And for all the guys, you know, performing consistent, they got to know that it's going to get better and create the right kind of atmosphere here to win the championship.
The other thing about that is, if you are in that situation where you're feeling like you're, you know, one play here, one play there, does it make it easier to pound into the head of a player that every little bit matters. Every penalty that happens on first down or a special teams block, it matters in the end, because if one of those things happen in any of these games, either way, things change.
I think our guys are starting to understand that, Jeff. It's not automatic. You know, some people think they've arrived. Just because, you know, you're young, rich, and famous. And that's what you're dealing with. And so sometimes guys think they've arrived just because they have a seat in the room. They're in the NFL. There's a big difference, though, between being a championship team and just being a player in the league. You want it to be a champion, it's extra all the time. You have to live it, breathe it. You know, and so that's the kind of preparation it takes to win consistently in this league. And, you know, again, it's a process. It's a lesson. You know, it's just a mindset that, you know, it takes a minute, and we're getting there.
Can you spot those guys a mile away that they don't get it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can spot them that do, and you can spot them that don't, you know. And so that's all part of the process, and we're working very hard and fast to make it right.
I want to talk about the performance of your tight end, Zach Miller, because I think everybody's rooting for the guy, number one. Outstanding yesterday.
Well, I think, you know, there's a guy, again, you know, watching people struggle and watching them overcome stuff. I mean, he spent 3.5 years not playing football. And I think he's a perfect example of what I'm talking about, that little extra, that edge it takes to be successful. And, you know, it took maybe 3.5 years of him not being able to play, looking at his dream maybe going away, but he didn't give up. He kept pursuing it. And he's having that kind of season. And, you know, he's a guy that would be kind of a poster child of what I'm talking about.
You know, I had a long conversation. We did a feature on our television show on Fox Game Day Live on Charles Leno Jr. And he admitted in that piece that what he prepared for in training camp to be a right tackle didn't fit the label now he understands of what being a professional is.
Yep.
So he went back to work. Do you notice that, too, with a guy like him? I mean, he's been solid at left tackle, and he sees a brighter future for himself because of that change. And now the investment off the field, out of the classroom, taking it home at night, and really didn't even know how to watch tape. Now he's learning that.
Well, that's part of the process. I mean, people assume that these guys should just know this, and it couldn't be further from the truth, you know, as far as, you know, the difference between being a player and being a pro, it's just different. I don't care what line of work you're in, what your pursuit is in life. You know, when you get to be at this level and you're competing against the best there is on the planet that do what you do, you know, that preparation and that mindset is critical to have success.
You know, one of the things that came up and will come up now, it's a natural Q&A with the media. Okay, you're looking at these three games. Are you building for next year? Are you worried about next year? And to their credit, whether it comes from them or from the top down, you to them, the players, they're saying, hey, I'm only worried about Sunday, man. And that's it. We're worried about this next thing, this next practice. And that's the mindset you need to have to finish a season the way you want to finish a season. Even if you don't win, you need to finish it in a preparatorial way and professional way.
You only have 16 of them. And your window in this profession is very small, and particularly as a player. The average career expectancy is 4 years, and you can't afford to waste a day, let alone a whole week in a game. So, you know, every time you go out there and play, it's your resume. It's on the tape. 32 teams, everybody in the professional or the NFL sees that performance. And if you want to spend time and keep one of those seats in this league, you have to perform.
All right, more with Coach Fox coming up here. We'll dig into the game a little bit more in depth.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Snap on 3rd and 3 from the 44 of the Bears. Cousins, quick time. Hit from behind, Willie Young, and down he goes. Finally got there, worked his way back to Kirk Cousins, running that arc on the left tackle, Trent Williams, and he sacks him for a double-digit loss of 10 on 3rd and 3.
That's a big play right there, and I'll tell you, Willie Young has had himself a nice 5 weeks, 4.5 sacks and an interception. He's our Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studio. Jeff Joniak and head coach John Fox. His numbers yesterday, very strong. After coach's tape, 8 tackles, 3 for loss, 4 quarterback pressures, and a sack, and was hidden in there. He also drew 2 holding penalties from this 3-time Pro Bowl left tackle. I know the team didn't win. He beat that man's rear end. at left tackle?
Well, that's the kind of game within a game that we get to watch, and is watching some of these young guys, get better, learn, worked very hard to do that. And Willie didn't get a lot of playing time early. He's coming off of a season-ending injury from a year ago. To watch that growth and then watch good things happen to him, on Sundays is a lot of fun to watch.
And where his mindset and personality were not emerging early in the season, because, whether it was his own concern about playing time or his future here or whatnot, he's having a ball out there. You can see the enthusiasm he's playing with in the locker room, ear-to-ear smile. I mean, this is a revelation for a guy that, thought he was only going to be a 4-3 defensive end in this National Football League. And I just think, where would your defense be without Willie and Lamar? Because Lamar tied a career high now, 6 sacks, 5 in the last 6 games, 10 tackles yesterday and 2 tackles for loss.
Well, I think, to watch where they've, come from to start the season, Pernell McPhee got his knee banged up, and these guys have gotten more opportunities, and they've taken advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, Mitch Unrein gets his first career sack for you. I know that puts a smile on your face, too.
Yeah, Mitch has done a great job. He's that kind of competitor. That was a big reason why we brought him in here. He understands, how to prepare and how to be a pro, and I think that's catching on with some of the guys.
I thought it was very interesting that a rookie undrafted, Anderson, the linebacker, he was discussing the whole Jordan Reed success yesterday with 9 targeted throws, 9 catches. He said, I'm quoting him now, this is quite honest from the kid. He said, extremely good route runner, which he certainly is, great route runner, but he ran a lot of option routes, reading how we were, our position on the field, then just going the opposite way. I was concerned about the flats because they're in certain formations, they like to stem to the flats. I was more heavy to the outside. He was just reading how I was and cutting it back. And then he said, I personally took a step back yesterday. Do you like that kind of honesty from a guy like that, a rookie?
Yeah, no doubt. I think, we talk about all the time is, when you make a mistake, the most important thing is you admit it. Second thing is you do your best to correct it. And the third thing is don't let ever let it happen again. So you're going to get knocked down, and it's how you respond is what's critical. And I think Jonathan, knowing the kind of young man he is, he'll respond well, and he'll be back.
So in the details of the X's and O's of that, is that pretty much what happened yesterday with Jordan?
Yeah, I think, number one, let's not forget this guy is a very good route runner. He's done similar things to other opponents as well. But, we just didn't have our best day, especially we didn't start our day very well to begin the season or begin the game. And hopefully we can learn from that and respond to it.
The Vic Fangio and the idea of, finding solutions through the course of the game, which has been great evidenced by how they've played in the third quarter, second half of the game. So throwing Alan Ball out there kind of quieted things down on him.
Well, we tried it all. I mean, we had backers on him. We had safeties on him. In our dime package, we put him in there. That's just what you do. Vic's a good coach. He's been around long enough. And, sometimes plan A doesn't get it done. So we were on about plan D by the time the day was over.
But sometimes that with players that are in his arrow shooting up or great players, you have to have plan D, E, and F too, probably.
Well, no doubt.
You're going to run out of space, but you got to do it.
No doubt.
Hey, I asked you this one time. I don't know if we asked that. Do you ever miss calling plays?
Yeah, I think, being a head coach is completely different. There's no manual for it. Guys have their expertise, whether it's defense or offense or even kicking game in some cases of John Harbaugh. But it's just different. You have to oversee all of it, whether it's personnel, whether it's scheme, offense, defense, and special teams. You have to have a pretty good working knowledge of all three phases, in my opinion, to be a successful head coach. But you do miss that every day with your own group, dug in, down in that office and meeting room. You do miss that some.
All right, that's John Fox. Another segment with the coach coming up here. He'll be with us until 7 o'clock, and then we'll bring in a trio of coaches. We'll tell you who they are.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Back to throw, Cousins taps the ball, comes to the near side, intercepted, Kyle Fuller at the 28, to the 25. Kyle trying to break in one more tackle, he goes down at the 21-yard line.
And welcome back to PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. And that's Kyle Fuller's second interception of the season. The play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Back with John Fox here at the top of the hour. That play, an important one in the game because it set up a touchdown to tie the game.
Yeah, it was a big play. It came at a big time. And I think it set us up to our offense to score and tie up the game. And obviously a big play.
So those takeaways, not many this year. Is that driving you crazy, too?
Yeah, that's it makes it tougher, yeah. No doubt. And I think we've kind of cleaned up a little bit on the giveaways, although we ended up zero this week. We had a sack fumble that we gave to them. Our defense did a good job of not, you know, letting that turn into points. So, you know, hopefully with the more accustomed we get to our defense moving forward, guys will play faster and those takeaways will come.
Interceptions are one thing, but forcing fumbles is also another, and that's a style and a power and a nastiness to you. Eventually, is that what you're looking for here? You know, guys that are physical enough to jar that ball loose.
Well, I think, you know, right now we're playing team defense. You know, a lot of those fumbles occur on quarterbacks when you have a superb pass rush that, you know, you get a sack strip fumble. That's where most of your fumbles come from, is in the passing game. And you know, we haven't gotten that far yet.
I'll tell you what, though. Do you see signs of what that front is able to do, though, when they get dialed in and ready to roll? Because they come off the line of scrimmage, and they've made some very nice plays with their pass rush here last couple games. Did you see it? In fact, when as soon as they get off, you know something good's about to happen. It's like they're overwhelming the offensive line. It doesn't happen down in and down out. It never does for any great pass rushing team. But that, and would you like to have more guys that are able to do that to get a rotation of guys, depth of rotation?
Yeah, I think ideally, you know, when you've been together for a few years, you can develop that wave, we call it. So guys can stay fresh. You got a different look coming at you if an offensive lineman, because typically they're not rotating O-linemen. So we're going to get there. You know, like I said, it just takes a while to develop.
All right, let's take a look at the Vikings in our remaining moments with you. What are you seeing different, anything, from Week 8?
Not a whole lot. Yeah, I think they've stayed pretty consistent further ahead watching their offense right now. I think Teddy Bridgewater is playing better. They had a very close game with the Arizona Cardinals at their place, who are also a good football team. I know they've been nicked up a little bit on defense. But basically the same cast of characters that we came up short versus here at our place.
Now, do you have to revisit what you did against them with the fellas in Week 8? Do you put that tape on again in the instruction process, or is that irrelevant at this point?
Yeah, typically with division opponents, regardless of what new teams are in the breakdown, usually your first meeting is in that breakdown, and pretty much everybody does it that way.
So they had Anthony Barr, Harrison Smith, Linville, Joseph, Anderson, Dejo, all out, so used a lot of new guys. But they, you know, they've had some young guys, too, that are stepping up, and they're right now one of those threats to go to the playoffs. And they've done some good things with Coach Mike Zimmer. I know you have a lot of respect for Mike.
Yeah, I think you know, Mike's done a good job. You know, they're second year into their program, and, you know, I know he's a fine coach. And, you know, they've got a better roster, I know, than when he first got there. And hopefully we catch up to them fast.
I brought it up because just going over what they experienced last year, they won seven games. Mm-hmm. They won seven games, but, you know, they had the issue with Adrian Peterson. They lost their tight end. They had somebody took a gunshot. They couldn't play the rest of the season, one of their free agent defensive linemen. I mean, they had all sorts of issues, and they were able to still win some games. And how they won also made a statement about what they're doing in 2015, and that's kind of the way it goes, and you can do it in a year. You can do it and become a contender in a couple of years and just really change the whole dynamic of your locker room and your franchise.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to make it happen. It's on its way.
Hey, I'm not begging you. I know. You said
no,
it. You say it almost every week from the moment you got here.
Well, it's just, you know, when you've done it a couple of times, you've seen it. You know the process. And, you know, I would just tell our fans, bear with us. It's going to happen. It's going to happen fast.
Sounds like a good slogan, bear with us, coined by John Fox. Hey, Antrell Roll, it can't be easy for a veteran like that, and he is one of your leaders. And I know even on the sidelines yesterday, he and Purnell were getting guys rounded up and focused and giving them pep talks on the sidelines. It's going to amount to about a dozen games missed this year for a veteran who hasn't missed a whole lot of action. It's got to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were without both of our defensive captains, you know, Pernell McPhee and Antrell Roll, and they're still big parts. And even Antrell going on injury reserve, he'll still be a big part. You know, I think we just got to get him healthy. We are short on time left in the season. We did need a roster spot to bring Tyo back. So he'll still be with us, and you know, he'll be at practice. He'll be part of the football team, and he just can't play.
All right. Well, coming up next, we'll be talking with a trio of coaches, offensive assistant Bo Hardigree, former NFL offensive lineman and assistant offensive line coach Ben Wilkerson, and Sean Desai. He's been with the Bears here for a couple of years. You're out of time. You got to go to work now.
Yes, sir.
That's John Fox. Thank you for joining us.
All right, you're welcome.
The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lawrence Greeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airing every Sunday night, 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring assistant coaches Sean Desai, Bo Hardigree, and Ben Wilkerson. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Shotgun snap, handing off, up the middle, into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! Matt Forte in from 7.
And that touchdown gave the Bears a 21-21 tie. Welcome into the program, joined now by a trio of Bears assistants, a wealth of experience and knowledge in the room right now. First time all year, I got three of you at one time, so we'll get right to it. Introducing Bo Hardigree, a Bears offensive assistant and former NFL offensive lineman Ben Wilkerson, and our friend Sean Desai has been in this seat before, so I told you guys you're not going to get a word in edgewise. This guy's a smooth talker right here. Very, very good. Good to see you, Sean.
Good
you all right?
Jeff,
pull yourselves up to the microphone. Hey, you guys have been on this roller coaster ride with everybody, but people don't get to know you guys too much and talk to you. But the range of emotions for young offensive assistants and young assistants in general must be as profound as it is for the head man himself. So what are your feelings about what's gone on this year? It's been competitive as heck, but some of those losses just don't feel right, right?
Yeah, I mean, the losses always hurt, you know, but like you said, it's been competitive, which is a really positive thing, and there's a lot of positive things to look forward to. You know, I mean, that's the name of the game. You got to keep competing, and eventually it's going to break, and some balls will go our way, and then we'll get some wins and roll some together.
No, Ben, you've been on the ball, snapping it to quarterbacks in your life, so you know what it feels like, right? You know everything, the emotions of what's gone on. You've experienced it all.
No doubt about it. It's a roller coaster ride at different points in time of the season, but you know, you just got to continue to work to put things together and try to squeeze out those tough ones on the back end of the games. And it's just professional football. It can swing either way, and hopefully you can execute the game plan and get a win at the end of it.
And, Bo, you've been with Coach Fox and Coach Gase in Denver, so you know how they think and how they feel and how they approach wins and losses. Mm-hmm. Give us some insight.
You know, it's, you know, you always, like Coach Fox says, you got to be the same person every day. So win, lose, draw, that's how we approach it. You know, our preparation's got to be the same. And, you know, I just admire our players and our coaches, the way we go about it. You know, you lose, you got to, just like today, you got to get back in, put the game away, and get on to Minnesota.
Sometimes from a person who's not played the game, certainly at this level and a novice point of view, it would seem harder to accomplish than how you guys, you know, are instructed to teach it. Is it harder for you guys as well, but you just can't show that? You know, is it hard to put it away? Is it hard even as assistant coaches?
You know, I think it's always a little bit hard, but that's part of the business. I mean, like Ben and Bo and everybody says, I mean, you know what you're getting into when you're in this profession. You're not going to win them all, but that's part of the beauty of it. You know, you got to face some adversity. You got to learn how to deal with the adversity and develop and grow from it and keep moving it forward.
It's about being a pro. You know, it, for me, from my experience as a player and now as a coach, you know, the feeling still hurts. It hurts the same. Of course, you want to win every opportunity that you get. From a game perspective, from a rep perspective, each play you want to win. But, you know, you have to move forward. You can't dwell on the past. You can't dwell on the play before. You got to move on to the next play. And hopefully, you know, things are continue to move in a positive way.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, you got to find a way to, positive or negative, is take something from each game, from each week. You know, something happens, good, bad, indifferent. These guys got to learn. It's got to carry over into the next week. So if a mistake happens, previous game. You can't have them the next game.
All right, fellas, we're going to step away here for a check of traffic and weather together on the 8th. This is the Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's and the Verning Hills Sports Authority at 155 East Townline Drive. We'll be hosting the Bears All-Access Radio Show live 6 to 7 this Wednesday, December 16th. Come out to the store, get in on the action with Tom and Zach and this week's featured Bears player, Christian Jones. All right.
The Bears Coaches Show with assistant coaches Sean Desai, Bo Hardigree, and Ben Wilkerson, and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Played at a great level going against Green Bay. Guys were excited. And then we come out and we're playing San Francisco, and we're playing down to their level, and they were able to beat us. So once we establish the fact that we have a standard of what we play and a level that we play at, and we're not going to go down to anyone's level, they have to come up to our level, then that's when we'll do better at closing out these tight games, winning these close games.
That is cornerback Tracy Porter earlier today here at Hallis Hall. Fellas, he's a veteran who knows. He's won a Super Bowl. It makes a lot of sense right there. You got to have that mindset, you know. Don't play down. Have everybody play up to your – you guys agree with that as coaches?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the main things as a coach is to set the expectations and standards. And then, you know, then you coach up to that expectation and standard, and then eventually you start developing the players, and they start living up to that standard. And that's when you start building a culture and a program and a winning tradition.
That's Sean Desai. Ben Wilkerson?
Yeah, definitely. I think the coaching staff with Coach Fox and Coach Gason, and just the winning reputation that they have, as well as the guys on the defensive staff, and they've done a good job of carrying that message to the team, and the team really buying into it. And obviously the record doesn't necessarily show the attitude of the team and how we approach every day. And just hopefully that the plan is to get things back rolling and start to, for those things to transition the way we want them to be by displaying that attitude and the demeanor that we want.
Bo?
Yeah, I agree. Expectations every week are to win. And it's the mentality that we go into the game with. And it's like we talked about, you know, the last couple of weeks is not just to be in it, but just to take it over and finish. You know, finish is a big thing for us.
All right, Bo, we're going to get into your backgrounds a little bit to let people know what you're all about. He's the only guy I know, fellas, that was a quarterback and a tennis player, right, in college. So the son of a high school coach, and, you know, those guys usually wind up being quarterbacks. I don't know. You probably were prom king, too, and you got the most beautiful girl in the school. You know, that's all in there, right? Is that all part of it?
It might be.
The tennis thing, where'd that come from?
I started when I was 4 years old and did the whole thing, traveled all across the country. I played football, started late freshman year. Dad didn't push it on me. It just kind of developed, and I was, you know, tennis is an individual sport growing up. And got around, you know, a team atmosphere of football and really enjoyed it. Got pretty good at it and had an opportunity to go to Tennessee and was a backup there. And finally, the tennis coach would go to Coach Fulmer every year. Can Bo play?
No kidding.
No. And so the last year we kind of worked it out and I stayed on. That's when I got into coaching. David Cutcliffe, I was a student assistant working with the quarterbacks, and they let me kind of go over and start playing tennis again. So that's how it all,
look at the grin on his face. Did you even know this?
I did.
Yeah, you guys are LSU together, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you knew a little bit about that.
I knew about his tennis career. I didn't know how great it was.
Yeah, not bad, though. But you got yourself a BCS championship trip, too, when you were there. That must have been cool.
Yes, it was.
What an experience, huh? Mm-hmm. And David Cutcliffe, I get a smile on my face when I hear about him. I've never met the man, but what a football coach. Give me some insight into him a little bit.
Oh, man. He's like a, you know, like he's like a dad away from home for me, you know, coming up through the system at Tennessee, and then, you know, him giving me my first coaching opportunity as a GA with him when we went to Duke. But just the way he trains quarterbacks, I mean, it's you know, his deal is practice makes permanent, and he, you know, trains them from the head up and from the neck down. I learned a lot from him. Great man.
And Ben, you're in the NFL. You know, the entree, obviously you were a player in the National Football League, but the Bill Walsh Minority Intern Coaching Program, which I think more and more now you're seeing coaches getting that opportunity and being able to set some roots down. And, you know, they either get a taste of it and don't like it, or they get a taste of it and they get the bug and they want to do it because it's a significant amount of work.
Oh, no doubt about it. And it's a great experience. I took a lot from that experience that I had. And It was great to be back in the NFL atmosphere again, more than anything. You know, I've been away from it for a few years. I missed it, and just to get that opportunity, it was a dream come true. And to have this opportunity here, I'm just blessed and fortunate to that things kind of worked out in transition, and I'm in this seat right now. So everything worked out for the best, and just trying to do a good job.
Yeah, and a year ago, you're coaching high school.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
In Houston, right?
Yes, indeed.
And not just that, but you were a PE track coach, so you had to do it all wearing different hats. Did that desire, because you coached in the college level of Grambling State, you played in the NFL, what did that do for you, I guess, the prep experience, then get back, right back in the National Football League?
What I took from the high school experience was just the fun of it all. You know, sometimes
the purity of it.
The higher up, you know, politics and business kind of gets involved a little bit, and it's easy to overlook the fun, but it was fun. I really enjoyed that experience being in high school, and I mean, they're doing a great job playing for a state championship here coming up this weekend, so. A great
what
football program, North Shore High School, Galena Park North Shore High School in Houston, Texas. So
good luck to them.
Good luck to them, no doubt about it.
Well, you must feel some part of you there then, because you touched some of those lives, right?
I did, but, you know, they put the work in themselves, and everything they're getting right now, they deserve. They work hard. The kids work hard. They got a great coaching staff there, so just proud to be to say that I was a part of that program.
All right, Sean, we're going to get you on the other side of this traffic and weather. All right, we're not forgetting you because you're an interesting man now. Sean Desai's story coming up next.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Our final segment with our assistant coaches, and then we'll hear from John Fox once again. The official Bears Pro Shop has everything you need to make your holidays Bears blue and orange. Visit store.chicagobears.com. As promised, Sean Desai. The Bears' defensive quality control, linebackers, special teams, those are your specialties. But overall, and I don't know, do you guys know this too about the man? He is a doctor, so I think you need to reference him from now on as Dr. Sean Desai. But, you know, we brought this up before, and your career path is as interesting as any because, you know, you were in education administration. You've had articles published in journals of higher education, and you're an assistant football coach.
Yeah, it's certainly been unique. It's been fun. You know, I mean, I'd like to think all the training I've done academically and even professionally have kind of helped me get to the point where I'm at today. And, you know, to me, coaching is the highest form of education and teaching, so why not do it?
Not if it's parlayed into your career then? And not
oh, absolutely.
Coach?
Absolutely. Everything I've studied, like I said, academically, you know, is I've applied it to my profession here, so it's been great.
All right, before I let you guys go, quickly on your positions of expertise, we're going to start with Big Ben because there are some dark days for offensive linemen when they look at tape next morning, right?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it, but it's like Bo said earlier, you got to be able to take the information, learn from it, grow from it, and move on. And it's just a part of being on the offensive line. It's an ugly position at times, but you got to love to be a part of it. It has to be ingrained in you, and you have to love what you're doing. And there's not a whole lot of shine or glitz and glamour to it, but it's a dirty job. Somebody has to do it, and if you love what you're doing, you do a good job at it, and you continue to work on improving that position.
So. Bo, how much fun has it been working with Adam and working with Jay and David Fales?
Oh, it's been great. It's a great group, along with, you know, I'd assist Dow Loggins, help him, and get as much information to the quarterbacks, to them, that I can, and along with all the other avenues, you know, working with the offensive coordinator. It's been great, and I learn something new pretty much every day.
You guys do a lot of research projects?
Little
analysis, little analytics,
bit,
yeah.
Yeah?
Is that you guys, how late are you here every night, seriously? Late?
Yeah, it's
who goes
late.
Home? Anybody?
We try to get home.
But it's crazy hours, right?
It is.
Well worth it, though. And you're working with linebackers and special teams, so in a 3-4 versus what you've been in, has it been a learning experience for you too?
You know, it's actually been great. It's been refreshing. You know, my first full-time coaching job in college was a 3-4 outside linebacker coach. So this has been refreshing. And obviously, Coach Fangio's system's been unbelievable to learn for me. You know, it's been a great experience to learn. And working with Glenn, with the inside guys, has been tremendous. I mean, these guys have a tremendous amount of years of experience dealing with a lot of great players and a lot of great systems. So it's been really good.
All right. Well, fellas, we got to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
the Vikings. John Fox on the tough loss and keeping the Bears grinding.
can be very frustrating, as I'm sure everybody out there is as well. But we're going to keep plugging away, and I expect us to get better.
I saw ex-Bear Kurt Becker here today, offensive lineman, played in Michigan. We had a long talk about games like this, and he much preferred getting his rear end whipped, you know, if it ever happened. 37-0 feels better than a three-point loss. Or, you know, I don't know how you feel about it and how you can't qualify losses, in my opinion. A loss is a loss. A win is a win. But everybody's got a different take on it. What's yours?
Well, I think, you know, just what's most frustrating for us is that, you know, we're close. We're really close. We just can't get over the hump consistently enough. And, you know, this game is about being consistent, and we're just not there yet. So I think you know, for us, it's, we don't get paid to play hard. You know, we get paid to win. And that's the ultimate deal, and that's what we're working towards.
You still didn't answer my question. Do you prefer getting beat so you know you got beat to go back to work, or do you care if it's a close loss?
I like being competitive.
Yeah.
All right. You know, so, again, as a coach, you're always trying to win the game. And you know, when you're getting beat 38-0, it's you're not very close to winning the game.
You're right, but I would think on Monday morning it's a little more of an eye-opener for the fellas, but maybe it isn't. Everybody's got a different take on it. And every game takes on its own story. That's the beauty of the league. The whole week's a drama. I mean, you don't know what you're going to have, who you're going to have available, what the other team's going to have available, the psyche of your team, if somebody's got sickness or something going on at home. And so what, in summary, can you say about yesterday's drama? What is yesterday's storyline?
You know, again, kind of a little bit more of the same. I know it sounds like a broken record. A little bit different is, you know, we didn't start the game very well. We deferred. We started on defense. They went 80 yards on the first drive, ate up about 8 minutes of clock, you know, and scored a touchdown. Then in turnaround, their second possession, drive 93 yards for a touchdown. So, you know, on the flip side, we were three and out the first three possessions and maybe had a one first down. I don't recall exactly.
Yeah, one.
You know, you can't start games like that. You know, to credit the guys is they fought back, got in the game, and had an opportunity to win it at the end.
Yeah, which now we've come to expect out of your team, and I think that's also a significant statement.
Well, I think if you even go back to our wins, you're going all the way back to our one home win here against the Oakland Raiders. You know, again, that was a three-point win on the road in Kansas City, two-point win. You know, it's other than, you know, we started off the season a little bit slow, you know, the first three games. But ever since, I mean, these games could all have gone either way.
Tom Thayer last night, as we wrapped up the broadcast, he said, you know, I hate to put it this way, you know, at 5-8 and so forth, and, you know, the record says what it is, but it's been a highly entertaining, competitive view for the fans and for us as announcers to call the game, because it is, you know, I call them nail nibblers. You know, it was another nail nibbler yesterday. I mean, you're in it to the finish. Your heart's racing. So from that point of view, even for the players, it has everybody's attention.
Well, we're going to get there. You know, it's just, you know, I wish we could have gotten closer, you know, to this point this season. And we still have three contests in front of us, two against division opponents that we lost to in the first go-round of two of these three games. So there's a lot to play for. I think our guys understand that. They'll compete. And I can like to tell all the fans that it's going to happen. We are going to start winning. I'd rather it be sooner than later.
And you do tell your players that, too. I know you do, because they've told me you said that.
Yeah, I think they understand it. And for all the guys, you know, performing consistent, they got to know that it's going to get better and create the right kind of atmosphere here to win the championship.
All right, that's going to wrap up this week's program. For Bears head coach John Fox and assistants Bo Hartigree, Ben Wilkerson, and Sean Desai, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to our producer, Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Cisco Cotto. And also to Dan Barilli helping us out tonight here at Hallis Hall. Bears-Vikings Sunday at Soldier Field, pregame at 9, kickoff at noon. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Good night, everybody.